D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. David James has been surprising me with his music selections lately. JoJo, that's a good pull right there.
That's a good, good tune.
That's a good pull, David James.
Nice one.
Let's shout out JoJo.
Is this because I said pitching whoopee? Does this have anything
yes.
to do with that?
Yep,
okay,
yep.
All right. Anyway, let's go to our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Good. First off, JoJo is great, but do you know what's even better? Casey and JoJo.
Casey and JoJo.
All My Life.
Fabulous song.
That's a banger. Guys, that's one of the best of all time.
I definitely danced to Casey and JoJo at my middle school dances. Definitely
did
that.
The same. That's just, we're right around the same age. I cried many a tear of eighth and ninth grade girls to Casey and JoJo's All My Life.
Oh, boy. All right. Speaking of tears that have probably been shed, the Titans missed out on John Harbaugh. Chad, what does the Titans' failed pursuit of John Harbaugh tell you about the state of the franchise?
I don't know that it tells me anything different about the franchise that I didn't already know, and that is that they are at an ownership deficit compared to the New York Giants. The Mara family is more widely respected. And you look at the Giants, I mean, they've had, I think it's like 2 6-win years or seasons in 10 seasons. It's been bad. You know, it's not been quite as bad as the Jets, but it's been bad for the Giants for a while now. But I think that just shows that that's a franchise that has the respect of people in the NFL, and it's an ownership family that's got a ton of respect. And Amy Adams Strunk has to earn that respect back, because starting with the John Robinson move, that was, whether he had done a good job or not, he had won a lot of games as the GM, and he had built the Titans roster up to a point where they were one game away from a Super Bowl. The instinctive move to fire him, the reactionary move to fire him midseason, was a mistake. And then compounded that mistake with firing Mike Vrabel, then the mistake of hiring Rand Carthon, and then the weird structure they had. She's got a lot of proving to do, I think, to woo a coach the level of John Harbaugh that can pick any available franchise that's out there. Now, that's not to say that the Titans can't go out and hire a really good coach. They can, and someone's going to want to coach the NFL. So I don't think all is lost or anything like that, but I don't know that Adam had really told me anything that I didn't already know, and that is that the Giants is just a more coveted franchise than the Tennessee Titans, and I understand why.
I was reminded, as all of this unfolded, I was reminded of something I heard Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated say on his MMQB podcast about how the Titans owner, meaning Amy Adams Strunk, needs a PR win. And absolutely, hiring John Harbaugh would have been a PR win for the organization. How many of the potential head coaches out there that the Titans could hire, Chad, would give the Titans a PR win, or are there none?
I mean, they could trade for Mike Tomlin. I think that'd be a huge PR win, right? But I don't think he wants to coach next year. He's probably burned out. He's going to go do television, make a lot of money, and then get traded like Sean Payton was and go coach for another team at some point. I mean, in terms of PR win, I really think, guys, that the way to go, and hear me out on this, and I have not yet voiced this anywhere online or anything, but I think there's some merit to this. If you want a PR win and you are the owner of the Tennessee Titans, you need to kind of bring the band back together in an interesting way. And I think that includes the triumvirate of Arthur Smith as head coach, Mike Munchak, who hired Arthur Smith originally, on his staff, bring him back, and get Jim Schwartz in as your defensive coordinator. I think if you could do that, you could sell Titans fans on, we are going to throw it back to not the golden era necessarily, but to a time where this franchise was respected and where they won a lot more games than they are now. And we care about our heritage. We care about our former coaches. We care about our former players. I think that would be pretty cool. I like Arthur. I don't know what all went down in Atlanta. He had 3 7-10 seasons. I know he's a great offensive coach. I would be all for that move if that's the direction the Titans decided to go.
Talking to Chad Withrow of OutKick. Chad, in your opinion, where would you rank the Titans' job in terms of the available jobs and its attractability?
Oh, goodness. I think it's up there, honestly, because, you know, some of these other jobs, you know, Arizona as an example, there's ownership issues there also. And also, what's the future of Kyler Murray? look, I think it all depends on how you view Cam Ward as the quarterback. But if you're just looking at, you know, all the different variables of a job and what makes it attractive, I think the ownership situation is a big negative. I think the GM is a positive. I think having structure now, where Chad Brinker has essentially been demoted and he's not going to have as much say, and everybody knows that you answer to Mike Borgonzi and then the owner, I think that's a positive. I think the market is a positive. Young quarterback, number one overall pick, positive. Draft position, positive. Cap space, positive. I think this first class for Borgonzi could be pretty good. That's a big positive. So I really do think you could make the argument that, you know, once you get past the Ravens and the Steelers, the Titans are right up there for one of the best jobs. But I think that the Giants went out, again, because of the Mara family versus Amy Adams Strunk. But I do think that there's an argument to be made that it's right behind that list of openings right now.
Chad, the Titans have always kind of done this cycle when they're hiring coaches. They go from a defensive guy to an offensive guy and back again. Being as they just fired a former, you know, offensive guru, we'll put that in quotations, would it make sense to hire a defensive guy and let him hire a coordinator to help develop Cam Ward, or just stick to the plan and hire an offensive coach to help with Cam Ward?
I mean, I think you just hire the best coach possible, and whatever side of the ball they're on, you make sure you hire a dynamite coordinator on the opposite side. To me, that is the biggest hire. If you're going to hire some young whippersnapper offensive guru that coach for Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, which seems to be the way for a lot of teams, then you better hire a veteran defensive coordinator that knows they're doing, like a Jim Schwartz, let's say. Vice versa. If you go and hire Robert Saleh, then you better be able to go attract a Mike McDaniel to be the offensive coordinator. So I you're right. This is the way it always goes, not just with the NFL, but in college too. You hire a defensive-minded guy as a disciplinarian. Well, we're going to go hire a more lighthearted, media-friendly offensive coach next time. Oh, that guy didn't work out? Well, let's go get the hard ass again and make sure that we give him a lot of money to be the coach. That back and forth, that tennis match of who you hire, it gets frustrating. I just think you got to go out and identify who is the best possible coach we can hire, who's best for the organization right now and this roster, who's going to work the best with Mike Borgonzi to build up what is a big-time roster deficit right now for the Titans, because they got one of the worst in the league. And once you identify who that is, you hire them with the knowledge that they know who they're going to go get for their coordinator on the opposite side of the ball, and it's going to be somebody that knows what they're doing.
Chad Withrow is with us. So, Chad, I want to ask you specifically about Saleh. Do you think Saleh is the best candidate on the market right now? Or if he's not, who would you put up there?
You know, I think he probably is. I really think if we're going to go just by track record, okay, and we're going to talk about where were they as an organization, Saleh gets the benefit of the doubt because the Jets are a mess all the time, right? So I think everybody kind of gives him a pass for a lot of things because that organization is a mess, so you can forgive him for that. I would put Kevin Stefanski up there also. You know, Kevin Stefanski was an NFL Coach of the Year. Kevin Stefanski did a lot of good things to the Browns. Yes, it fell apart. Yes, the quarterback situation was a mess, but I think I'd put him up there as well. And if you're just going by resume, I mean, Mike McCarthy's the guy. Mike McCarthy took the Cowboys to the playoffs multiple times. He's won a Super Bowl. And so many people could come back and say, well, he's only won one Super Bowl. Well, I can count a bunch of coaches in the NFL that I'd love to have one Super Bowl ring and have won one Super Bowl. So I don't think you can do better than Mike McCarthy, Willie, from just the resume. But I do like Saleh a lot if paired with the right offensive coordinator. And I think Stefanski deserves mention also. But I think all three of those guys would be right there in my book.
Let's switch gears. Tell me what you're seeing on the University of Tennessee's quarterback front. I was just reading about, you know, all of the guys in the portal, et cetera. So where do they go from here?
So they kind of go back to the original plan. And that sounds odd, but when they brought Joey Aguilar in because Nico left, the plan was, okay, that's great. You got a five-star quarterback in George McIntyre from Brentwood Academy sitting on the bench. He can learn for a year. He can get bigger. And then he'll be the starting quarterback as a redshirt freshman, much like Nico was the year Tennessee went to the college football playoff. So that sounds like a pretty good plan. Well, George McIntyre is 195 pounds at 6'6" and didn't gain an ounce that I noticed this season. That's concerning because he is going to take a pounding in the SEC. So he hasn't gained any weight. And I think that's the one thing that Tennessee fans look at and say, I'm not sure this is going to work out. Now, he's got the arm. He's got the ability. I know the coaching staff loves the mental part of it with him and his ability to process and make good decisions and be reactive during the game. So I think, Willie, that they're just going back to that plan that now it's going to be George McIntyre's team. They're still going to have to go get a quarterback from somewhere in the portal, but it looks more and more like that's just going to be a depth piece, maybe a veteran guy from the FCS ranks that can come in and compete with McIntyre. Faison Brandon will be there, the five-star true freshman. He's on campus as of yesterday, so he'll be waiting in the wings also. But I don't think it's a great scenario in today's game, considering that you could go get a bona fide starter with a lot of experience if you want to pay the money to do it. But it looks like Tennessee's going to trust their process and go with the young guy that they paid a lot of money to be there.
I think that's going to be something to watch in the coming years. How many teams go that route, have faith in developing the youngster and resisting the temptation to go out and grab a guy who's started 25 games. It's an interesting dilemma.
If it doesn't work out, Willie, let's say it doesn't work out with McIntyre, to your point, I would completely go away from that model. I would be done paying quarterbacks $1.5 to $2 million a year if they're a high four-star or five-star guy to sit the bench for a year or sit the bench for 2 years before starting. You know, keep in mind what Michigan did with Bryce Underwood. They said, we're paying you this much money, you're playing from the start.
Right.
Right, Vandy? We're paying Jared Curtis this much money to be the quarterback, you're the starter. You are the number one quarterback in the country. You're going to start. You're going to learn on the move, and we're going to go. I think there's if you're not going to go that direction, if McIntyre can't be ready in year two, I would completely go away from that model. I would save my money on a high school quarterback. I wouldn't even recruit one, or I'd recruit some in-state kid that's a three-star that's not going to make much. And I would just go into the portal every 2 years and go find a guy who's been a starter that has 2 years of eligibility and pay them big money. I think that's the route if this doesn't work out with McIntyre.
Yep, it is something to watch. So, Chad, who do you like on Monday? Do you think Miami has a chance?
I think Miami has a chance because of the line of scrimmage. I think that's what gives them a shot, both offense and defense. But I'm not picking against Kurt Cignetti. I mean, this guy is a complete psychopath of a coach, and I mean that as a compliment. He is like Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men with the cattle gun when he goes up against his opponents. This guy has a look in his eye that he does not care about anything but playing fundamentally sound, crisp football and destroying the opponent. It is impressive to watch. That Indiana team does not make a just watching them in this playoff, they always make the right play. It seems like they're always in the right spot. There's never a misstep on defense. They're always in the right spot offensively. It's incredible to watch how well-coached this team is. I think Indiana wins, Willie, but I do think that Miami, with that offensive and defensive line, it's at least going to keep them in the game and give them a chance.
I do want to see – I would just from my own observation, I would like to see how Mendoza handles himself, because I didn't see the full Ohio State game. I think Ohio State got some pretty good pressure on him. I just want to see somebody disrupt the rhythm, because Indiana, he's like, I don't want to say he's in a rocking chair, but their offense is so pristinely timed, nobody's disrupted the timing at all.
If anybody can do it, it's Reuben Bain in that Miami defense. I really think that's where this game could be very, very close, and Miami will give themselves a chance if they can disrupt what Fernando Mendoza is doing. And I do think that Ohio State was able to do that in the Big Ten championship game. He came through with a big throw late in that game, but they were able to do a lot of that in that game. I think Miami's got the capabilities of doing it as well, but, man, it's been as impressive of a two-game performance. I mean, really, probably going back to last year, what Ohio State did dismantling Tennessee and then turned around and did it even worse to Oregon in the next game. I mean, that's what it reminds me of with what Indiana was able to do against Alabama and then follow it up with that pounding of the Ducks in that game. That was super impressive.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
David, I fully expect Casey and JoJo all my life to bring you guys back from break in the next segment. So let's make it happen. And guys, have a great weekend.
You too. You heard the man, David. 615.
He had to spoil it.
615-737-1025. Let's discuss something Chad said about the Titans coaching search coming up next. I thought he had an interesting idea. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.